The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker together with Manisha Tank this Wednesday morning. But yesterday, huge news coming out of the United Kingdom.
Oh, yes, indeed. The UK Supreme Court found that Prime Minister Boris Johnson's decision to suspend Parliament for 5 weeks was unlawful. The Supreme Court's decision was unanimous between all of the 11 justices.
Supreme Court President Lady Hale laid out the reasoning behind the ruling. Have a listen.
The court is bound to conclude, therefore, that the decision to advise Her Majesty to prorogue Parliament was unlawful because it had the effect of frustrating or preventing the ability of Parliament to carry out its constitutional functions without reasonable justification.
That was UK Supreme Court President Lady Hale delivering that bombshell court ruling that the decision to suspend Parliament was unlawful. And I just want to take a moment to say that Lady Hale is retiring at the end of this year. She was also she is also the first female president of the Supreme Court. We are losing such a huge Baroque icon.
Yes, we can talk about that later. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who was in New York for the UN General Assembly, has said that he didn't agree with the ruling, but he would respect it.
Obviously, this is a verdict that we will respect, and we respect the judicial process. I have to say I strongly disagree with what the justices have found. I don't think that it's right, but we will go ahead, and of course Parliament will come back. I do think there's a good case for getting on with a Queen's speech anyway, and we'll do that. But I think the most important thing is we get on and deliver Brexit on October the 31st.
Yes, the Supreme Court is only the highest court in the country, but never mind. Prime Minister Boris Johnson speaking there on the ruling that found he had broken the law by asking the Queen to suspend Parliament.
So, House of Commons Speaker John Bercow immediately released a statement saying that the Commons must convene without delay and MPs will return to Westminster later today.
And the Prime Minister has not had the easiest start to his leadership as he has already faced 6 defeats in Parliament on top of the Supreme Court ruling. Understandably, there have been calls for his resignation.
Scotland's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, says the ruling was the most significant constitutional judgment in her lifetime and it would be unthinkable for Mr. Johnson to remain in office.
Meanwhile, the leader of the Brexit Party, Nigel Farage, said Mr. Johnson must, as a matter of honour, offer his resignation to MPs in Parliament.
So, we have with us on the line this morning to help us out with this, Sam Olson, head of Asia-Pacific at Unheard Insight. They are a leader in global business and political intelligence. By the way, Sam is also a former advisor to former UK Prime Minister Theresa May. Sam, good morning. Thanks for taking the time.
Good morning.
So, Sam, wow, what a day it's been in the UK. Everyone has this question on their lips. What happens now? What's your instinct saying?
That's the very good question because no one knows the answer. And it's been almost like that all the way through the Brexit process. It's just been a series of unfathomable actions that people have been trying to understand, but unfortunately every time we think we're on a settled path something new happens, and so actually being able to understand what the impact is on Brexit but on the Constitution is very much too early to say at this stage.
Sam, you have extensive experience of British politics and you've advised, you know, politicians over in the UK. A few very loud voices calling for Boris Johnson to resign. Do you think that that's a realistic possibility?
Absolutely not. He's already said he won't do it. And the question is, if he was going to do it, who would be the person to replace him? And there have been talks in the opposition benches about replacing Johnson with a government of national unity headed up by Person X. The problem is, who is Person X? And the leader of the Labour Party would normally be expected to be that head of government of national unity, as Labour is the largest party. But too many people actively dislike Corbyn. Far more people dislike Corbyn than Johnson. And so therefore, that looks very unlikely to happen. And it is unlikely that Corbyn will allow anyone else to take over. So therefore, if Johnson was to resign, the opposition bench would be hard-pressed to furnish a leader. And in the Conservative Party, there is absolutely no appetite for a new, yet another leader. Would that be the third in the space of a few months? And the powers that be won't let that happen.
Sam, every roadblock seems to bring up renewed pressure on Boris Johnson to pursue a deal with the European Union. Is this the same situation? Is he likely to do it?
I think so. The most likely outcome is still that there's some kind of deal agreed between Britain and Europe before the 31st of October. That's what people are saying in Westminster. The question is, A, what kind of deal? And B, is that actually going to be changed now that Johnson is looking very weak thanks to losing the votes? Because Europeans, you know, some people say that the Europeans want an extension to happen again, and then there'll be a general election, and then they're putting their hopes on Johnson and the Brexiteers losing, being replaced by Remainers, for example. They think Jo Swinson, the head of the Liberal Democrats, who's a revoker now, they think that if someone could come in and be Prime Minister after a new election who wanted to revoke the British leaving of the EU, then they would want that to happen. So therefore, it's kind of like they've got every interest to make sure that they have an extension if they can see that there is a new leader on the horizon that will be favourable to them.
Meanwhile, I mean, let's talk about Boris Johnson. He's left New York. He's travelling back to the UK. What are his options? Because he's getting blocks on every front, but he's still got a deal potentially, as you're saying, to deliver. What does he do from here?
Good question. There seem to be a few options on the table left. And the first one is that there is, by default, a British leaving of EU on the 31st of October. However, there are people that dispute that will happen, as we just mentioned, because Europeans will allow an extension, even though they won't. It's all very confusing. And then the second option, though, assuming that 31st is sort of null and void, is that there's going to be an election. And that, though, is unlikely to happen before the 31st of October because they need 25 days of campaigning time between the launch of a general election and the actual general election itself, which is very tight to squeeze in now. So in terms of actual next steps, I think it is unfortunately too early to say. What is more interesting and perhaps is the impact on the Constitution, because this is one of the most important rulings, as Nicola Sturgeon said, in our lifetimes, and it's not necessarily for a good way either, because this is the first real time that lawyers have been held to be driving government policy on a macro level, not just in little individual judgments, which happen quite a lot, but on a macro level. And there are a lot of people who are incredibly uneasy about lawyers becoming supreme to government.
Sam, you mentioned the impact on the Constitution. In the background, weeks ago, there was also chatter about the impact to democracy. Do you see this ruling as a victory for parliamentary democracy and the rule of law?
No, I don't. And the reason for that is because there is a great quote by Lord Chief Justice about 10 years ago, which talked about how the British people did not free themselves from the tyranny of papacy and the potential tyranny of kings to have government being replaced and usurped by unelected lawyers and judges. And I think that was a very astute comment. And it goes back to who is the ultimate representative of the will of the people. And I think in the West, we always say that it's the government that is that representative. And now we see that core government policy at the macro level is being shut down by judges. I think that is a very dangerous precedent.
All right. We've been speaking with Sam Olson, head of Asia Pacific at Unheard Insight. Thanks, Sam. Have a great week ahead.
Thanks, Sam.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.